correlation and chi-square. How do you know which one to use? In its classic instantiation and application, correlation is when you have two quantitative variables and you want to know if there's a linear relationship between them. Pearson's chi-square is applied when you have two qualitative variables and you're looking at the pattern of relationship between them. Two things here that you've got to maybe add some detail into what you carry around in your head. There's more than Pearson's correlations and chi-squares. Pearson was a busy guy and did a lot of other things. Also, there's several other kinds of correlations and many other kinds of chi-squares. So if you're talking to somebody who's not sharing the experience in the room, you might want to use all of the words to make sure that people know what the hell you're talking about. Also, Pearson's correlation can be used beyond a linear relationship of two quantitative variables, but we're going to focus on that now. If you see two quantitative variables and you want to know if they're associated, we're going to use Pearson's correlation to look at a linear relationship. So you should begin associating correlation and linear relationship. Pearson's chi-square can be applied broadly beyond the 2x2, and we know that we have both categories and binary categories and ordered categories. So there's all kinds of different categorical things that we can be looking at, and we're going to focus on Pearson's chi-square for looking at the pattern of relationship. Remember, this is the first of each of these models. There's lots more coming. So the idea of the linear relationship is that I capture all of these data points, and if I were to draw a best fit line through them, just like third grade, fourth grade math, that if I picked a value on the x-axis, I could come up to that line and come over and estimate a value on the y-axis. So we're getting two things out of this: an idea of how strong this relationship is, and an idea of how to use that relationship to predict values from other values. For chi-square, we have two categorical variables, turtles and food preferences, and we fill in the number of cases that have each bivariate frequency, often called a crosstabs or a contingency table, and again we look for a pattern. Now the pattern is typically described as what row goes with what column. And so snappers tend to prefer crickets, painted turtles tend to prefer duckweed. That use of prefer is a fairly common language. We use it a lot because it is a little bit shorter than saying more of the snappers chose crickets. There's a little bit of a anthropomorphization when we say preference, especially when we're talking about other uses. Also, remember that the other day we talked about how one of the uses, one of the phrasings of research hypotheses includes tend to, because not all of our relationships are complete, perfect relationships. These are tendencies. This data pattern here, who wants to guess what correlation would be portrayed by this? You know correlation from negative 1 to positive 1. It's positive. Anybody want to take a guess?
Positive. I want something positive.
0.7. It's like an 8. Okay. An 8, 5. And you're thinking, well, if I pick this study time, there's a pretty good range there. This is the sort of correlation we would all like to see when we're hypothesizing a positive correlation. Here, notice the asymmetry. 15 out of 16 snappers, but only 19 out of 24 paints are properly hypothesized from the data pattern. So remember, a lot of the effects that we're looking for are relatively small. They're relatively weak. Why? Because they're part of a complex, multivariate, multi-causal world. There's a lot of things that go into what food preference a turtle picks besides their species. There's a lot that goes into how well you do on a test besides the hours of study time. So in an important sense, we have to brace ourselves for multi-causality. We already embraced one of the challenges of multi-causality, confounding variables. This is the other challenge of multi-causality. Bivariate effects aren't all that big and strong. That doesn't mean give up hope. That doesn't mean say, oh, behavior can't be predicted. Much behavior can't be well predicted by a single other variable. Who would expect it to? You've all taken courses in a bunch of different areas. all of those got more complicated than you want them to be by the end. Right? It always starts out nice. Oh, economics is important because it's driven by, and you know, three chapters in, oh my God. Abnormal psychology starts out easily enough. Three chapters in, oh my God. Okay? So, this is our reality. We are trying to cobble together descriptions and ultimately causes of complex multi-causal things. All we're doing at this point is grabbing up four bivariate analyses. It's where we have to start, because in order to understand all the really cool stuff that's coming, we have to have these four models locked down. But remember, ultimately, we don't expect all that much out of this. I've made the bold-faced, horrible statement early in the semester, most bivariate analyses are wrong, because they don't capture the conditionality and they don't capture the complexity of a multi-causal world. So as we're doing this, remember, tendencies. What else is going on? We have to look at patterns of data across multiple analyses that ask multiple questions. So, for each of these, do you think we would use chi-square or correlation? Keep it simple. Remember, almost every time I ask a question of you, you have to ask yourself a question before you can get to the question I asked. I'm asking you what statistical model to use. You have to say, no, I know what you're asking. First, I have to figure out if I have two qualitative variables or if I have two quantitative variables. So, GPA and GRE, correlation or chi-square?
Correlation.
Why? Two quantitative variables. Right now, that is the whole answer. Age and shoe size?
Correlation.
Correlation. Preferred pet type and preferred toy type?
Chi-square.
Now, if I left off type, would you probably be okay? Yeah. Sometimes that last little bit of a word really gives us what we need, and sometimes it's redundant. But if I say pet, you're probably not thinking, well, how much pet do they have? Okay. And how many pets would be asked differently? Good. Leg length and hair length?
Correlation.
Age and preferred type of pet?
Eh.
I like eh. Preferred type of pet and preferred type of car?
Chi-square.
Again, if I left out type, would you probably be okay? Yeah. But you need enough information to properly express how something was operationalized. Grade as a percentage and hours of study?
Correlation.
Correlation. Now notice, if I just said grade without hours of study, then grade would have been an ordered category, and there would be an argument about how we should analyze it. Do we treat that ordered category, that A, B, C, D, F, as 5-4-3-2-1 or 4-3-2-1-0 and treat it as quantitative? Or do we treat it as a multiple category variable and stuff it into a chi-square? It's one of the first things you learned was pay attention to the operationalization of your variables. Same thing's true. What question was actually asked and what were the response options? That's how you define operationalization. And one of the great things about it is it's in the data set. It might not be in the paragraph. It might not even be in the code book, obviously, but it will be in the data set. That's why things like value labels and missing value specifications are so important. That might be when you finally figure out what the hell your variables are.